Marilyn, written and narrated by Shirley Hyatt, from her book of short stories, 20 Tales with a Twist.
From the kitchen, Marilyn heard the unmistakable sound of the front door being opened. She dropped her teacup, her heart pounding erratically as she pushed her way through stacks of magazines and cartons, overflowing with knickknacks. Past a ceramic flower pot, the spilled contents adorning a lace dress crumpled up in the corner of a cabinet. She couldn't think straight, couldn't make sense of how the front door could have been unlocked. She had done everything possible to keep the secret. Now, something had gone wrong, and she felt like she was going to jump out of her skin. There was a woman standing in the open doorway. "Who are you? What do you want?" Marilyn demanded, one hand pressing against the fluttering in her chest. The woman smiled. "I'm Wanda Fisher, and I'm here to help you and your husband." "Help?" Marilyn asked, taking a step back, running into a box that tumbled, spilling newspapers around her feet. "My husband is asleep. He can't come to the door." Wanda said, "I'm going to be blunt. I'm here to help you get your things together and move out of this house. The owners have given you a lot of leeway, and now your situation has, well, it's reached its limit. There is a group of folks ready to clear out this house so that they can take full possession today." Marilyn's eyes widened, darting beyond the woman to scan the knots of people standing in her front yard. "Situation? What situation?" Wanda held out a paper. "This is a copy of the last official notice you and Mr. Gleason received. Because you haven't paid taxes in many years, the property has been sold. What it comes down to is this. You and your husband have to get your things together and leave the premises. Otherwise, at this point, the sheriff has the legal authority to eject you both immediately. So if you can, please call your husband to the door. We can explain the situation to him and get you both out safely." Marilyn balled her hands into fists as the adrenaline rushed through her veins. "I don't believe you. Go away." Wanda was not deterred and took another step forward. There was no more time to bargain with the woman. "I understand how hard this is, but the fact is, this is no longer your house. Now, these people are here to help you both." Deep inside her chest, Marilyn felt something give way and fell against the wall. From a million miles away, she heard excited voices. "Quick, somebody call an ambulance. Come on, let's get her out of this hellhole so she can breathe some fresh air." "Wow, look at that," a man said as he stepped inside to take hold of Marilyn. "I don't think I've ever seen a worse case of hoarding. I wonder where her husband is." In the distance, Marilyn heard a siren scream. She tried to fight off the men who picked her up, but found she had lost all physical power. A mask was quickly fastened on her face, and a voice said, "Come on, lady, breathe. Come on, take a breath." As the oxygen fluttered her brain, she seemed to be transported back in time, back to the day that had changed her life forever. She was 16 years old. She slowly rode her bicycle up to the iron gates of the house and stopped, hoping to get a peek inside. But the curtains were always drawn across the windows and the shades were pulled down tightly behind them, barring her from satisfying an unending curiosity. Wouldn't it be wonderful to actually get inside that fantastic place? Week after week, year after year, she'd made the loop from her modest home on the west side to the mansion on the other side of town. Today, she saw the shades had been rolled up, the curtains held back, the front door standing open. And there on the front step stood a young man. Marilyn was too astonished to mind her manners. She rode her bike right up to the gate, opened it, and pedaled over to him. "Hi," she said, breathlessly coming to a stop. "Well, hi yourself." "I'm Brent. Who are you?" the boy said. She was so excited she almost shouted it. "Marilyn, I'm Marilyn." Suddenly, she felt her knees tremble and her face grow hot with embarrassment. How could she have been so brazen? "How old are you?" he asked, squinting against the bright sun. "How old are you?" she answered with a little smirk. "Asked you first." "Old enough," she said, Did you just move in? What do you think?
Well, I think this place has always looked kind of like a prison, and now it doesn't, and here you are. I guess your parents just bought it or something.
Or something, he laughed.
Our uncle died and left it to me and my sister.
Just you and your sister? Where are your parents?
Marilyn asked.
Our parents are deceased.
Oh, sorry.
So how old is your sister?
Wouldn't you like to know, Brent said, crooking a finger at her.
Come with me and you can see for yourself.
Marilyn was too enchanted by the invitation to think twice. After all this time, she was actually being asked inside this amazing house. She flipped down the kickstand and followed him across the broad porch and through the open door. Stepping into the foyer, she exclaimed,
You know, I have been simply dying to get in here.
Brent laughed. Well, now that you're inside, please don't die. That would be rather pointless. Come on, I'll introduce you to my sister. She's in the sunroom. She followed the young man through the enormous dining and living rooms, thrilled by everything she saw. The oil paintings that hung on satin ropes, the thick carpets, the fireplaces with openings big enough to stand up in. They came to a room strung out across the back, the large windows revealing a walled garden beyond. A woman seated in a wicker chair turned to face them. Again, Marilyn was so surprised her mouth dropped open. This was his sister? This woman with gray hair and a wrinkled face? She looked old enough to be his grandmother.
Please come in. I don't bite, the woman said, holding out a withered hand.
Marilyn took a deep breath. Hello. I'm Marilyn. I live over on the other side of town. I ride my bike over here all the time just so I can look at this house. This is the first time I've ever been inside.
She had no idea why she'd said that. She knew it made her sound silly.
It's surely worth looking at, Marilyn. You've met my brother, I see. I'm Bethany. Believe it or not, we are twins. Marilyn couldn't speak. She didn't know what to think. Was this some kind of play they had concocted to get back at nosy people like her?
Oh, please, just sit down, Bethany said. I know how odd that sounds, but it's true. I have a rare disease called progeria. It's an inherited thing that makes you grow old very fast. I was born with it, and there's nothing I can do about it. I don't suppose you've ever met anyone like me.
No, ma'am, I surely haven't, Marilyn said, trying not to stare, still unsure if they were playing a joke on her. She'd never heard of a disease like that.
Please don't be frightened. It's not catching. And please call me Beth. Would you like a drink? I think we have some fresh lemonade.
She looked up at the young man she'd identified as her twin brother.
Did you offer her something, Brent?
I was about to. Would you like a drink, Marilyn?
Yes, please, she said, thinking her mouth had never been this dry. Not once in her entire life.
She sat in the chair next to Bethany and clasped her hands together, certain it was honesty she saw on this gorgeous face. She really wanted to believe him, both of them. And now that she was inside, she really wanted to stay, forever.
Brent threw her another smile. Be right back.
Beth picked up the conversation. We only arrived yesterday. Our uncle passed away some months ago, and we had to wait for the paperwork to get completed and all kinds of things to get done before we could move in. I don't suppose you knew him. He was very reclusive, hardly ever left the house, but you probably knew that.
No, not really, Marilyn said softly. I didn't know anything. No one ever saw him. The blinds were always down.
She found her fingers were twisting the hem of her blouse. She stopped, smoothed it out, and tried not to look at the old woman. Could it be true that she was actually close to her own age, maybe a little older, maybe 17?
Look, my situation is very odd, Beth said. I won't bore you with the details, but Brent and I have decided to open up this house and live here as long as we can, as long as I can. It's so lovely, it needs to be used. We want to have people in, have parties. You might say we want to celebrate life. Maybe you could help us getting acquainted with some people around here.
Her heart was beating so fast, Marilyn didn't know what to say. Imagine! She, above all others in a town, filled with curious people, she was being asked to help them have parties in this house. It was too astounding for words. Her mind was in a whirl. She could only nod as Brent appeared. "Here you go. I got Mrs. Logan to whip up some sandwiches, too." He put the silver tray on a small table. "Help yourself. There's plenty." "Mrs. Logan is our version of a family retainer," Beth explained with a little laugh. "She's our mother's best friend from a million years ago. When mother died, she moved in to help us, me, actually. She's a fantastic cook and a great housekeeper." Bethany held up her fragile hands. "As you can see, I'm not very strong." "Oh, I'm so sorry," Marilyn said, lowering her eyes. "Oh, don't be. I'm used to it. Anyway, you're our first friend. We're very glad you stopped by. I'm sure we can rely on you to help us." Marilyn suddenly found her voice. "Oh, I will. I'll introduce you to everyone. Honestly, I will. There are so many people who will want to see you. Everyone has always wondered about this place." "I'm sure they have." Beth's eyes grew bright. "And they will want to know about us, too. Me, especially. So can we count on you to keep our secret? People will wonder, you know." "Oh, yes, I know they will," Marilyn admitted. "But what secret are you asking me to keep exactly?" "Let me tell her," Brent said. "You see, we don't think it's wise to talk about Beth's strange disease. People will want to turn her into some kind of a freak show. So my sister will be introduced as my grandmother. You do understand what we're asking of you." Marilyn took a drink and swallowed. "I think so. You want people to think exactly what I thought when I met Beth." "That's correct. It will seem, well, more normal that somebody 17 years old is living with his grandmother rather than his twin sister, who appears to be much older." And amazingly, it had happened. There had been wonderful parties, lots of wonderful parties. Then in just a few years, Marilyn's wildest dream had come true. Brent had fallen in love with her just as she had with him. Exactly the way she had dreamed it would happen. She was swept up in her white lace dress, carried over the threshold, and installed as the mistress of the most beautiful house in town. Beth had made it clear to Marilyn that as a twin, she and Brent were halves of a whole. She was completely happy to know that he would not be alone when she was gone. She was very pleased that her sister-in-law fully understood their situation, adding that she knew her passing would leave a mark on her brother. Marilyn had proven herself to love Brent with all her heart, she said, adding she knew that Marilyn would always keep the family secret. It seemed as if Bethany hung on to life just long enough to see them married. 1 week later, she slipped into the great beyond, and Brent was devastated. He refused to leave her fragile body and lay down next to his twin for 2 long days and nights, weeping. Finally, Marilyn convinced him to come away, that Beth would understand. Brent insisted that his sister not be moved, that she remain in the large bed. He pulled the coverlet up to her chin, draped a white veil on her face, and laid a bouquet of white roses at her side. It also seemed that with the demise of Beth, all their previous happiness had evaporated. For weeks, Brent went about in a cloud of detached gloom. Marilyn often found him sitting on the floor, his head against Beth's door. Then one day he regained his reason, and again they were lovers with their eyes on a bright shining path into a happy future. One day, Mrs. Logan surprised them by announcing she was leaving to spend the rest of her time on Earth with an ailing relative. They wished her well, and once alone, they seemed to gain a new kind of happiness. They laughed together as they ran from room to room like children who had escaped the bonds of stern parenting. One morning, Marilyn awoke to find she was alone in their bed. She called out to her husband, thinking he was playing a new game. She found him, crying, curled up outside Beth's door. "Darling, what's happened? What is it?" She leaned down to touch his shoulder. When he turned to look up at her, she couldn't stop the thin shriek that flew from her mouth. "I know," he said, grasping her hand. "I'm as shocked as you are. More. They said I hadn't inherited it. Clearly, they were wrong. I just waited a while before it hit me. Waited until I was completely happy. Turning away, he began to sob. His young wife was struck dumb with horror. As Brent became an old man, little by little, his wife's heart grew brittle with grief. Then one morning, she awoke to find that he had died while she had found refuge in a few precious hours of sleep. As he had requested, she left him in their bed, gathered up her personal items, and locked and barricaded their bedroom door. She was 25 years old. In her nightgown, she wandered the house. In some bizarre twist of fate, all her dreams had come true. She had been invited into a mansion that for years she had longed to have even a peek inside. She had met and married a handsome young man, and now the house and all its furnishings belonged to her. Surrounded by riches, she was overcome by a feeling of extreme poverty. The reality of her situation set off a shockwave inside Marilyn, creating a pattern she would follow all her life, a long, sad stream of days filled with excessive shopping, accumulating, using everything she could lay her hands on to build walls within walls. Her single purpose was to keep her promise so that the world would never know the truth, that the twins were no longer alive but in their beds locked behind doors. She started by barricading the hallways that led to the bedrooms, eventually filling the entire upstairs and most of the downstairs against entry by anyone but herself. Now, as Marilyn lay in the hospital, looking up to the life support machines, she was overcome with fear. What if, while she was trapped here, someone should get into the bedrooms? Her heart began to jump wildly. She struggled to get up, but was attacked by another sharp pain. A loud beep filled the air. Wanda answered her phone, listened intently, and replied, "I understand. Thank you for letting me know." She slid the phone into her pocket and addressed the people gathered around her. "Everyone, that was the hospital. They informed me the poor woman has just died. Now we've got to locate her husband and break that news to him. Damn, I don't mean to sound callous, but you can now proceed as planned. The dumpsters are all here and ready to go. Let's put on our gloves and masks and get inside." "Don't think we'll ever know how it got to this point," the sheriff said. "There were a lot of rumors about her and her husband. Once in a while, she was seen coming in and out, but no one has laid eyes on him in a long time." "Well, in any case," Wanda said, "they've just about ruined this lovely old place. The new owners have been more than patient, letting them stay on, with only her written say-so that they understood and intended to comply and move out. But then she'd ignored the next round of legal papers and the process would all begin again. Well, this is the end. Andy, you take your crew into the downstairs room. I'll take mine upstairs and we'll see if we can locate her husband." The end.